Genesis chapter number 37, Genesis 37. Been looking at this story of Joseph. We started this series last week, and Joseph, an unexpected journey. Joseph's life took a few twists and turns and bumps along the road, but the Lord brought Joseph to exactly where he wanted him. The unexpected journey, we looked at the Joseph and his family last week, but let me give you a little bit more of introduction, maybe as a review for some or an introduction for those that maybe were not here last week. Joseph, I believe, is one of the most incredible Bible characters. How many of you have a favorite Bible character? Favorite Bible character. All right. How many of you, it's Joseph? Joseph's your favorite Bible character? A few of you? Very good. And mine is Elijah. Mine is Elijah because my Sunday school teacher would teach on Elijah, on Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal. And we would, I feel like we talked about it every week in class. How many prophets of Baal were there? We got it wrong every week. You know, elementary boys, just to keep you encouraged, you know. Anyway, that's been my favorite Bible character. You don't have to have one. But Joseph is an incredible Bible character. And we see this story of the life of Joseph throughout the book of Genesis, mainly from Genesis 37 to Genesis 50. And the Bible tells the story of Joseph's life. Now, some people, they write their autobiographies, and they share their life, a story, and their events, or biographies about others. If you don't, I encourage you to read biographies or autobiographies about missionaries and great Christians of the past. And it's such a strength to our faith to remember those that have paved the way, that have gone before us. But we get to read the biography of the life of Joseph, how God used Joseph's life in an incredible way. A couple of things about Joseph. He's an Old Testament picture of Jesus. Jesus Christ was prophesied from the very beginning of time that the Savior would come and would come to die and pay for our sins. And you see that Jesus, the picture of Jesus and the Savior all through the Old Testament. And one of those beautiful pictures is Joseph. Just to name a few, he was loved by his father, same as Jesus, hated by his brothers. He was conspired against. He was stripped of his coat. He was sold for the price of a slave. He became a servant. He was raised in power. He became a savior to all people. He forgave his brothers when they did not deserve it. But most importantly, that God was with him. God was with him. We looked in Genesis 39 four different times where the Bible says that God was with Joseph. Why don't you turn there? Let's look at these again. Genesis 37 and verse number 2. I'm sorry, Genesis 39. I said that wrong. Genesis 39 and verse number 2. So first of all, we see that that Joseph is an Old Testament picture of Jesus. He is not Jesus. He was not perfect, but a picture, an example of Jesus who would come. And then we see that God was with Joseph, just as the Lord was, you know, with Jesus, but Jesus is God, of course. But in Genesis 39, verse 2, it says, and the Lord was with Joseph. I encourage you to underline these phrases four different times. And he was a prosperous man. When God is with you, God also blesses you. Amen? You have to walk with God for God to be with you. That's the key. He has never left us. He has never forsaken us, but we have truly forsaken and walked away from God. But Joseph made the choice to walk with the Lord in his life. The Lord is with Joseph. He was prosperous, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him. Not only was God with Joseph, but others, even the lost, saw that God was with him. You ever work a secular job, and it doesn't take long for a Christian to stick out in a secular workplace, doesn't it? And you should stick out. What you say or what you don't say should stick out. How you dress and where you go and what you talk about, all those things, it should be very clear. You don't have to get on your desk and start preaching to everyone, but they should know very quickly that you're a Christian, and everyone saw the Lord was with him. And it says here that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. So God was with Joseph. The master saw that the Lord was with him. Skip down to verse number 21. Underline this as well. I encourage you. It says, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. So now he's in prison, and even the prison keeper sees there's something different about this prisoner. And he was wrongly accused, just as everyone else is that seems to be in prison. He was wrongly accused, and he was kept there, but the keeper knew that God was with him. And it says, and the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made him to prosper. God was with him. God made him to prosper. And all those around him saw, God is with this man. And this unexpected journey of Joseph, although he took a lot of twists and turns in his life and maybe bumps along the road, and it may seem like he was going in the wrong direction, but he was going exactly where God wanted him to go. In your life, have you ever taken some twists and turns that you did not see coming? You have some of those moments of like, well, didn't see that one, didn't expect that phone call, that notice, that doctor's visit, that child. And you have those, you know, whoop, I didn't know that was coming. But God was with Joseph. I want you to understand this also, that Joseph was an ordinary man used by God. I think sometimes we look at Scripture and we think, you know, they were superhuman Christians. No, they were ordinary people that God used, just like God uses ordinary people today. And sometimes we think, well, there was something extra special about them. Now, they were special because they chose to walk with God, but there's nothing that where that Joseph, it's not like Joseph could have the favor of God and you can't. It's not like Joseph could have the blessings of God and God be with him, but God won't be with you. No, God will be with you just the same, and God can use your life as well. He was an ordinary man that God used in a special way. The Lord was with Joseph. Joseph wasn't seeking to make a name for himself. He just wanted to live for God. Isn't that a blessing? He just wanted to live for God. He wanted to do the will of God for his life. We looked last week at this subject, Joseph and his family. We saw that Joseph was the desire of his mother. We saw the interesting family dynamic, interesting to say the least, that Jacob married Leah and then Rachel, and then had children with both of their handmaids. So he has two wives and two handmaids and children with all four of them at one point. And that was not God's plan, and it never has or will be God's plan to have more than one wife. But because God had blessed Leah, Rachel's sister, with so many children, that Rachel was jealous. She even was angry at her sister, and it seemed to be that Leah was hated. And Rachel so much desired to have a child, but God did not open her womb. There came a time where God did open her womb, and she had a son, and his name was Joseph. And he was the son of Jacob's old age, Jacob being the father of Joseph. So he was the desire of his mother. But then we saw this in chapter 37, that he was loved by his father. Let's turn here, because we're going to be in chapter 37 for the remainder of the lesson today. In Genesis 37, why don't we read down here and pick up the story? We see the background of just the birth of Joseph and his brothers in the previous chapters and his sister, but we're going to look at the life of Joseph. It begins, his story really is told from chapter 37 to chapter 50, and it's told of Joseph's life from 17 on. And so let's look at this. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, now again, Jacob being the father of Joseph. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, this was the handmaiden, and with the sons of Zilpah, the other handmaid, his father's wives. And Joseph brought his father their evil report. Now, we're going to see in a bit, Joseph was loved by his father. He was the son of his old age, but you never see an evil report about Joseph. And so the next verse, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was a son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. He was loved because he was a son of his old age, I believe also because Joseph did right. He obeyed his father. He loved the Lord. And because he was loved by his father, which every child would seek, the love of their parents. The problem is this, he was loved more. Now, as a parent, you understand that there's a problem there, all right? We should love our children just the same, just as God loves us all just the same as well. God doesn't say, well, I love you more than others because you're good. No, he loves, God so loved the world. And so he was loved by his father, given a coat of many colors. So Joseph stuck out. He stuck out. Everyone knew that he was the loved one. He was the favorite one. But then we see because of that, he was hated by his brothers. In verse number 4, and when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Now, it's nothing new for brothers to fight. Nothing new for brothers to be angry with each other. And boys don't really need a reason to wrestle and fight. It's just they're awake, all right? And they start jumping on each other and fighting with each other. And, you know, see, the boys can fight and then they're done. Let's go play. Let's go out. And it's not quite the same with the ladies, I don't think, as it is with the guys. But they were hated by their brother, and they couldn't even speak peaceably to him. They couldn't even have a kind word to him. Just angry and bitter and jealous. They despised him. Even the thought and the sight of Joseph, they did not like. And we'll see this very clearly in the coming verses about Joseph's life. But let's go to that background for a little bit. This is Joseph's family, right? There's 4 women in the house, 1 dad. He has 11 brothers and 1 sister. Again, God help the sister that has 12 brothers. There was a child that was loved more than others. There was hatred. There was jealousy. There was an interesting family dynamic that wasn't so peaceable at home. Joseph was not a product of his environment where he could have said, you know what? Well, I can't live for God because look at where my family is. No, Joseph chose, he wanted to live for God with his life, and God was with him. I want you to look down in verse number 5 now. I want to look at the subject today about Joseph and his dreams. Joseph and his dreams. This will not be the only time that God would give Joseph dreams, but this is the first time recorded in Scripture that God gives Joseph dreams. And look at verse number 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream and told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. I mean, don't you think it'd be enough to be hated by someone and then to be hated more and more? And their hatred, their anger, and their jealousy just continued to rise. So he dreamed a dream, and they hated him yet the more. And verse number 6, and he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. And behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood. And behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaf stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more. There it is again, for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed this saying. Why don't we bow for a word of prayer and ask for the Lord's blessing on the message. Lord, we come before you and ask that you would open the Scriptures and the Word of God to our hearts. Holy Spirit, please direct us to what we need today. Thank you for the faithfulness of your people to be in the house of God this morning. Be with all of our Sunday school classes and teachers and students now. Speak to their hearts as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Joseph came a time, again, he's 17 years old. He's watching the sheep, coat of many colors, envied and hated by his brothers. And there came a day where God gave Joseph a dream. Now, again, was it a dream at night or during the day? We don't really know. We would consider a dream that would happen in the middle of the night. You ever wake up in the morning and go, what in the world was that dream all about? Or you ever get halfway through the day and all of a sudden your dream comes to your memory and you go, wow, that was weird. And you think, I got to tell somebody, and then you forget what it was about. But Joseph dreamed a dream, and it wasn't just an unconscious thought, but it was a dream given to him by God. This dream was a prophetic vision from the Lord. It wasn't just an unconscious thought and a story about how he was jumping from building to building and being chased by someone and, you know, a crazy dream you may have, but this was a dream that God gave to him. I want you to think about this in regards to these dreams and how God used this in Joseph's life. I want you to think about this. In Joseph's day, they had 0% of the scripture in their hands. It's hard for us to think about that today because we've always had God's word in our hands. Now, they've had accounts of God working from generation to generation. You have Jacob, Joseph's father, and Abraham, his grandfather. They're the patriarchs, the beginning of the nation of Israel, and they've heard stories of God working in times past. They've been telling stories of God working, but they did not have the scripture in their hands. So God was speaking to people through dreams and visions and sometimes audibly as well, and he would speak to people and tell them what he wanted for them to do. So I want you to think about that. We now have the completed word of God. They didn't have God's word in their hands at that time. God does not speak to man today through dreams as he did back then. God would speak to people back in the Old Testament, and he would speak in dreams because they did not have the completed revelation of God's word. So God would give special revelation to them. He would come to them in a dream. To Joseph, he'd come in a dream. To different leaders or prophets or judges. Even wicked kings, God would come to them in a dream, as he did with Pharaoh later on. And Joseph would interpret the dreams of Pharaoh about the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine. So God would speak in these prophetic visions about what was going to happen. Not only would God speak it in these dreams, but God would then interpret the dreams. But understand this, a dream that came from God would always come to pass. You have people in this day and age that would say, I had a dream from the Lord. You're like, that is not Bible, all right? We'll get to this in a little bit. But God speaks, God, right now we have the completed word of God. Now, God still speaks to people's hearts and lives, but he uses a few different tools. He uses the word of God to speak to our hearts and lives today. We have God's revelation, completed revelation to man. He speaks to us through the Bible. God speaks to us through prayer. Now, not audibly, but he speaks to your heart through prayer. And there's that open line of communication for a believer speaking to God in prayer. God speaks to the believer through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit impresses on your heart. It's not Jiminy Cricket. It's the Holy Spirit. I always watch that movie and I think, that's the Holy Spirit telling you right or wrong. All right, Jiminy Cricket's not the Holy Spirit, but you know what I mean. God speaks to us today through the church. God gave us the church and set up a pastor and preachers and teachers to open the Word of God and to teach and to proclaim God's Word. So again, although God does not give specific dreams today, God still speaks to Christians today. God still speaks just as much today to your heart through the Word of God, through prayer, through the Holy Spirit, through the house of God, that God still speaks. I want you to think about this today as we think about these dreams. I pray and I believe and I hope that God has spoken to your heart. If he didn't, you wouldn't be here today. Unless if you just went in the wrong place and you thought, oh, I'm in church today. But God spoke to your heart, first of all, in the area of salvation. That God spoke to your heart and said, you're a sinner in need of salvation on your way to hell. And Jesus Christ came to this earth and he died to pay for your sins. And God spoke to your heart again through the word of God. And he convicted your heart and you called out to God in prayer. Well, God spoke to you in that matter of salvation. God has spoken to you since then, I pray and I hope, in God's plan for your life. We have God's general will for every man, woman, and child. And that's the word of God. Every thou shalt and thou shalt not is for every single Christian. Now, there are some instructions given just to the Jews or before Jesus Christ came, but every thou shalt and thou shalt not is for every Christian, right? So God has spoken to us through the Word, His general revelation to every man. But also, God, I pray that God is speaking to your heart about God's plan for your life. See, God has a special will for your life. If you look around today, God made each and every one of us different. And to be honest, let's say God made all of us very different. That's why the Bible says those that compare themselves amongst themselves are not wise. God didn't make me, you, and you, me, or to be like somebody else. We're to be like God. So we're made in the image of God, and God is, if God has saved your soul, you're a Christian. But now God has a plan for your life. And God's going to speak to your heart and your life about what God has for you to do. Now that's what God was telling Joseph. We'll get to that here in a little bit. God gave Joseph dreams that did come to pass, exactly as God said. So God spoke in your heart about God's plan for your life. God also speaks to your heart about God's direction and wisdom for decisions in life. You ever come to decisions in your life and you think, God, I know what the Bible says. I don't know everything, but I know what the Bible says about this subject. But God, what decision do you want me to make, A or B? What job do I take? What house do I buy? You know, who do I marry? All the decisions that you may decide in your life. Well, that's wisdom you want from God. And I hope that you go to God in prayer and say, God, I want to make a wise and a biblical decision, but I want to do your will for my life. So please speak to my heart because I want to make the right decision. And God speaks to your heart. So God still speaks today, although it may be a little different than he did back in this time. Let's talk a little bit today about Joseph's dreams, all right? Joseph's dreams. Number one, Joseph's dreams came from the Lord. Now, it doesn't specifically say in these verses that the Lord came to Joseph in a dream. Other dreams would be the case. But in verse number 5, and Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren. How do we know that these are dreams come from the Lord? Because they actually came to pass. You have people today, you know, God told me that, you know, Jesus Christ is coming on this day and this hour and this time. We automatically know that did not come from the Lord because that goes against the Bible. We'll get to that here in a little bit as well. I'm holding some of the message for later. But God's direction will never go against the Word of God. God will never direct you to go against the Word of God. God's will and plan for your life always coincides and goes with the Word of God. So Joseph's dreams, they did come from the Lord because they did come to pass. Let's look at them briefly again for a bit. And in verse number 7, let's go to verse number 6. He said to them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed." Joseph was excited to tell his brothers what he dreamed. And in verse number 7, it says, "For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaf stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf." Joseph was excited about the dream, and for some reason, his brothers were not excited about the dream that they were going to bow down and worship their brother someday, much less their younger brother. Well, one of them, Benjamin, was the youngest, but that they were going to bow down and worship him. So he says, our sheaves, these are a bundle of grain and stalks that they would lay down and they would tie together after reaping. And he said, mine is going to stand upright and yours are going to give obeisance and they're going to bow down and they're going to worship my sheaf. So he gives the first dream and the brothers were not happy. They were angry about bowing down to worship their brother. And it was, of course, a picture. Remember Pharaoh's dream? We'll get to that in the weeks to come, how Pharaoh had the dream, the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine. And Joseph stored up for 7 years of that corn for the 7 years of famine. And that's that picture of that gathering together and his brothers that would come to him. And they would bow down and worship him and say, would you please give us food to bring back home? So God's dream did come true. So we see that his first dream. And again, look at verse number 9 for his second dream. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and his brethren. His father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? And we'll pause there for a moment. So the second dream is this. He says the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars. A picture of his mother, his father, and his brothers that would worship him someday. And they would bow down. And so now he tells this, the first one he tells just to his brothers. Now he said, I'm going to tell this second dream. Maybe dad will like the dream better than my brothers liked it. So I'm going to tell my brothers and then my father, and shares the dream with them. Joseph, I believe you can tell, he seemed excited about it. You ever had some exciting news that you couldn't wait to tell somebody? Right? And you were so excited about, you know, maybe God blessed you with a vehicle, or maybe the Lord has blessed you with some kind of goodness in your life, or a job, or shoes, or clothes, or whatever it is. Maybe it's a guy, all right? And you hit that perfect golf shot, and you want to go home and tell your wife, okay? And you tell her how great this was, and you come home, and she was not impressed. She was not excited about it. Okay, you're like, no, but honey, do you realize, you know, the lie of the ball and the trees and the angle? And, you know, she's not excited about it. And that's really how Joseph's brothers and his they weren't excited about the dream as Joseph was, but Joseph was excited about it. Why? Because God was speaking to Joseph. If you make that personal to you, I hope and I pray that we desire that God would speak to our lives, but more specifically, that God would speak to my life, that God would speak to my heart. See, it's one thing that God would speak to others and give them direction or blessings, but I'm a little selfish in this way that I want God to speak to my heart. I want God to bless my life. And as Joseph thought, God gave me a dream of what God's going to do with my life. Desire for God to speak to you through the Word of God, through prayer, through the Holy Spirit. God wants you to know and to do His will. 17 years old, God tells Joseph, in years to come, they're going to bow down and worship you. That was decades ahead. He had to wait a long time for God's plan to come to pass, but God's plan would come to pass just as He said. You know this, that when God speaks to you, that God wants for you to know and to do His will for your life. Remember, as a teenager, as a young person, you think, how do I know what God's will is for my life? You know, I grew up in church for about half my life, and I got saved, and I surrendered my life to the Lord. Said, God, I'll do anything that you want me to do, but what is it? You know, where do you want me to live? Who do you want me to marry? Where do you want me to go to Bible college? Where do you want me to serve? What do you want me to do? I want all the answers now. Is that how God works? No, it's not. I have something for you to do, but you just be faithful until the time comes. Too many times worried about tomorrow. Live for God today, and God will take care of the tomorrow. If every day, God, I just want to do your will today. I just want to obey and follow your will and your word. I want to do your will today. You know this, God does not want to hide his plan from you. And again, thinking of a young person, I remember thinking, how do I know who I'm supposed to marry someday? I'm like, be honest, Christian. Wouldn't it be nice if God like sent a letter in the mailbox to you, sent you a text that wasn't kind of spam or a joke, but God literally sent you a letter in the mail and said, this is God's plan for your life. And I thought as a teenager, that would be so easy. And I thought, you know, I remember thinking, is she the one I'm supposed to marry? Not her, right? You know, how do I know who it's supposed to be? But when you follow and do God's will, and you follow what God has told you to do today, God will take care of those next steps, and God will confirm in your life, this is my will for your life. And God will show you clearly why. Because He doesn't want to hide His plan from you. It doesn't mean you need to know it all, but you know as much as you need to know today to do God's will today. God doesn't want to make it difficult for you to do His plan. It's not like God said, here's my plan for your life. Let me see how hard I can make it on you, you know, to do right. No, God brings trials in our life to prepare us to do His will, not to hinder us from doing His will. God wants you to know and do His will for your life. So then why do people not know God's plan for their life? Because they're not walking with God close enough to hear the voice of God and to be directed by God. So why is God not speaking to me? Why is God not using my life? Why does it seem that God is using others and not me? Now, many times we're selling ourselves short. You know, God's speaking to others more than me. Well, maybe not. Maybe God is speaking to you, but you think they have something special that you don't have. But many times why we don't know God's will for our lives, because we're simply not walking with God, because we're not obeying God and spending time with God. Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You present your body a living sacrifice. Say, God, I want to walk with you, talk with you, obey you. Then God's going to use your life. God uses those that are following Him already. He's not finding the ones that are running away from Him. No, God's speaking to their heart to try to draw them back. I think of Abraham's servant that he says this, I being in the way, the Lord led me. God wants to use your life, but do you want God to use your life? God wants to speak to your heart, but do you want to speak to the heart of God? See, with this dream that this dream came from God. God, He wanted Joseph to know and to do His will. Understand this, God will, we're not going to get past point one today, just so you know, all right? God will never contradict the Bible, all right? God will never contradict the Bible. God's plan and dream for Joseph's life was to do His will and follow His word that they didn't even have yet at that time. Now we have the word of God. But understand this, that God will never go against the Bible. Never. Thou shalt not steal means thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery. God's never going to go against His word. But it's amazing how many false religions have been started by someone that had a vision. They had a vision, a prophet had a vision. And their vision was to do things that went completely contrary to the Bible. So what do? So they write their own Bible. Well, that's not biblical. And now they have a false religion and following because they've gone against God and His word. That's a clear sign of a false prophet. When you have a vision that's going against God's word and trying to point people in the wrong direction. God will never contradict the Bible. He will always go along with it. There's times in your life and in mine, I think, God, is this your plan and your will? You pray and say, God, is there a scripture, is there a Bible verse or principle that I should be following with this? Well, go to that Bible verse and principle. You say, well, but, you know what I'm talking about? I know what the Bible says, but, no, there's no but there. You say, if it's God's word, I have to do it, whatever the consequences may seem to be. Thirdly, under this, Joseph had a dream from the Lord, letter C, if you will. God will always draw you to be more holy, not less holy. See, the closer you get to God, you get to a place of holiness. It's amazing how many Christians today say, well, God didn't speak to me about that in the Bible, so I don't have to do that. That's a nice, easy cop-out, isn't it? You know, try that kid going to school tomorrow. You know, teacher, I didn't feel like the homework assignment was meant for me. It might have been good for the others, but it wasn't meant for me. How's that going to fly? How about you driving down the road 100 miles an hour swerving through traffic, and the officer pulls you over. Officer, that speed limit wasn't for me. It was for others. Now, if you're driving your expectant wife to the hospital, You know, you're like, how safe and how fast can I drive to get her there as quick as I can? You know, but you're not above the law. See, too many times Christians give themselves an out. This is very common today. Well, I don't believe the scripture talked to me about drinking alcohol. That's for others, but for me, God says it's okay for me. No, if it's good for one, it's good for all. But it's amazing how people never use that God didn't speak to me about it in the sense of being more holy. It's always about being less holy. You notice that? It's always, I don't need as much church. I don't need to be as holy, as separated. God doesn't speak and work that way. He always draws, he said, be holy. What? For I am holy. See, God had a dream for Joseph's life. God wanted to use Joseph. Why? Because Joseph wanted to be used by God. And as a 17-year-old man, a young man, I should say, not old man, 17-year-old young man, God said, I want to use your life. He didn't tell him how the journey was going to go. I'm going to use your life, but someday it's going to come to pass. It will come true. You stay faithful in Potiphar's house, in slavery, in prison, lied about, forgotten about, rebuked, envied, all of that. God's dream was going to come true because if God says it, it will happen. See, God has a plan for your life just as much as Joseph's life, just as much as my life or anyone else's life. Are you walking with God close enough? Are you talking with God and spending time with God to say, God, I want you to speak to my heart. I want to know what decision you want me to make in my life. What plan do you have? Too many times as adults, we think, well, that doing the will of God stuff is for the children. That they give their life to God, that they do something with God. No, that doing God's will for your life is for every single Christian. Do you desire for God to speak to your heart? Say, God, I want to know your plan in this area. And say, I want to listen to you, God, and I want to share that with others. We'll